Well, welcome to our service. My name is Ben, and it's my privilege to serve you as the pastor of this church, and my joy to lead us this morning as we worship God and look at Jesus together. Let's begin with praise for God's love for us through the gift of his Son. We're going to begin by singing, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence." Bible is a big book, isn't it? With lots of words, lots of verses, lots of chapters. And I wonder if you know what the shortest verse in the Bible is. It's pretty difficult to interact online, isn't it? I can almost hear some of you shouting at the screens, Judy. And that's right. The shortest verse of the Bible is "Jesus wept." John chapter 11 verse 35, but actually, some of you may know this, shorter than that is Job chapter 3 verse 2, he said, that's what it says, you can look it up. How about the, how about the longest verse in the Bible? What do we think the longest verse in the Bible is? Well, there's a verse with 90 words in it, and it's in Esther chapter 9, chapter 8, verse 9. I'll read it to you. 90 words, longest verse in the Bible. You ready? "At once the royal secretaries were summoned. On the 23rd day of the third month, the month of Shivan, they wrote out all Mordecai's orders to the Jews and to the satraps, governors, and nobles of 127 provinces stretching from India to Kush. These orders were written in the script of each province and the language of each people, and also to the Jews in their own script and language. There you go. That's the longest verse in the Bible. What about the middle verse of the Bible? Do we know what the middle verse? That's pretty hard, isn't it? There's a lot of verses in the Bible. And actually, the answer is, the very middle verse is Psalm 102 and verses 1 and 2. So here are the middle words of the Bible. Hear my prayer, Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call and answer me quickly. That's the middle verse of the Bible. And while we're doing a bit of Bible trivia, the middle chapter is actually very close by. That is chapter Psalm 117. And near Psalm 117 is the longest chapter. Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter. And the longest chapter is near, which is Psalm 119. There we go. What about, next one, the greatest verse in the Bible? Well, careful here. God wrote all the Bible, didn't he? So they're all great words, and some of us will differ as well. Some of us will think some verses are kind of more important to us or special to us than others. We looked at a verse last week that was a really great one. So one of my favourites, Romans 11, verse 36. From him and through him and for him are all things. In him are all things. That's a great verse, isn't it? But probably the greatest verse in the Bible is also the most well-known verse in the Bible. So what is the best-known verse in the Bible? And the answer is, you're correct, John 3, verse 16. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, why is this verse so great? Well, to help us, can we see the red letters on here? Red letters go G-O-S-P-E-L. So what does that spell? Gospel. It spells gospel. And gospel means, that's why it's a great verse, the gospel means good news. That's what gospel means, good news. So it's God's good news for all people at all points of the compass. For those in the north, in the south, in the east and the west, it is good news. The message of Jesus is good news, or the gospel. It means the same thing. Now, why is it such good news? Well, because God loves. So the first part of that verse says, for God so loved the world, all the world, every race, every tribe, every skin colour, every people group. God loves, and he so loved the world. And he so loved the world. In what way did he love the world? Well, he loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. He gave his one and only Son. So God gives. And Jesus was born in a stable and laid in a manger. And we remember that at Christmas. And Jesus said he was God's Son. And he arrived at Christmas. Well, he was given to us. God gave Jesus to us. And we remember that at Christmas. For Easter. That's why he came. So that he could give his life. So God gives or gave his Son so that his Son could give his life on the cross for people. That is good news. And that is so that whoever believes in him. So this is an invitation from God. God invites with this. Now we like invitations. It's nice when we get an invitation. It means people are thinking of us. They like us, those sorts of things. I guess we haven't had an invitation for a while, sadly, but hopefully things will begin to get back to normal at some point and we'll get invitations to parties. But the best invitation is from God. And it's from the one who loves us so much. And the best invitation is this one. It's not a party on earth. It's more than that. It's an invitation from a heavenly father to a heavenly party. It's an invitation from the one who loves us so much to the biggest and the best eternal party in heaven for all those who believe in Jesus. But why is God's invitation through Jesus giving his life to us so important? Why is this such an important invitation? Well, it's because the last part of the verse says, actually, we are perishing. So the invitation is so that we shall not perish, but have eternal life. And see, the thing is, God saves and God sent Jesus to a perishing world. He sent him because we are perishing. And he sent him because actually we all need rescue. And we all need rescue from our sin. Sin is our problem that we have that separates us from God. It's our rejection of him. And it leads to death now, one day for us. And it leads to eternal separating from God and perishing. But God loved the world so much that he gave Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This is God's rescue for us. So what do we need to do? Well, what we need to do is believe in Jesus, accept that invitation, and see that Jesus is the way to life. And we're going to sing a song about that now as well. The Bible calls me to follow Jesus. Okay, well, we're going through the I Am sayings of Jesus in John's Gospel, and we're up to number 6. So far, we have seen that Jesus is the living bread, and the question is, do we feed on him daily? He's the light of the world. Do we see him, and by him do we see life? He's the gate for the sheep. Have we come to him? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Well, is he the one that we have heard? We heard his call. Are we following his guiding? And last week, Jesus, we heard him say, I am the resurrection and the life. Are we confident in his complete power and authority to save us? Well, two more I ams of Jesus to come in John's Gospel today. John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth and the life. Next week is I am the true vine. And after that, the plan is to continue looking at Jesus in the book of Philippians. But Mary is going to read to us now from John's Gospel, John chapter 13, starting at verse 36 through to chapter 14, verse 14.
John chapter 13, verse 36. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Thank you.
I wonder if you've ever been lost. Perhaps when you were a child, or maybe on holiday in a giant maze, which was meant to be fun. Or was it when you were driving somewhere? Well, if you're a child, it's a really scary experience being separated, being lost. You just got to find your parents as quickly as possible. If you're an adult, it's not nice getting lost. It's not nice not knowing where you are, where you're going, or how to find the way. And we can get lost in all sorts of ways as well. We can get lost or be lost in purpose and direction, kind of not knowing what we should be doing, what way we should be going in life. We can get lost in addictions through bad habits and lack of self-discipline. And we can become morally lost. In fact, God tells us in the Bible that we all like sheep. So let's bring the sheep back. Here we've got some sheep. We all like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. And so the sheep, if you like, are scattered all over the hillside. So let's scatter the sheep now all over the hillside. There they go. And the sheep have got lost. And God says that's like us. We're lost. We're lost from him, away from the close relationship with him that we need. So what do we need? What do people need? People need to be found. We need a shepherd to come and show us the way. So let's bring the shepherd back from last week. Here comes the shepherd. And the shepherd calls. And the sheep come and they follow him. And far from being lost, Jesus finds them and calls them to himself. And when we're lost, we need a shepherd. And we need, if you like, another thing we need. There's a map, isn't it? Maps are really important. And we use them all the time for all sorts of things. For driving, weather maps we have. We have maps for buildings as well. And we need a shepherd and we need a map. And lost people need these things because we need to know the way. And Jesus says, I'm going to turn this way here. He says, I am the way. I am the way. I'm like a map. I'm bringing you to God. Now, sometimes maps can be wrong or out of date. Well, Jesus says, I am the truth. I'm the truth. You can trust me. Not wrong, not out of date. And he says, I am the life. So those who believe the truth, who believe in me, find the way. They get on the way that leads to life. Now, in John 14, we see how lost and worried the disciples are. In verse 5, Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? They don't know where the way is or what the way is. They seem completely lost and totally lost. And their distress is because, having been with Jesus for 3 years, he has now just said he's going to leave them. That is what he said to them. I'll read verse 33 to us. My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. And then in verse 36, Simon asks, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replies, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Then Peter says to Jesus, well, why can't I follow? Jesus, I'd die for you. And Jesus says, will you, Peter? Will you die for me or will you disown me? And he tells Peter that actually he's going to deny him. And this all adds to the concern of separation from Jesus. And see, Jesus is the one who should be feeling troubled. He should be troubled because he is about to be struck. The shepherd is about to be struck. And the sheep will be scattered. That is why Jesus says to them in chapter 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. you believe in God, believe also in me. Don't be troubled. You believe in God, you're Jews, you're people of God. Believe also in me, because in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take you to be with me, so you can also be where I am. In verse 4 he says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. But Thomas says, no, we don't. We don't know where you're going or how to get there. And it's another help as to the authenticity of the Bible. I mean, who would make up an account where the followers say to their leader, we just don't know what you're talking about, kind of thing. And then Jesus answers in verse 6, I am the way. Not church attendance, not religion, not ritual, not baptism, not any good works, not moral behaviour. I am the only exclusive way to the Father. And the way speaks of a road or a path and supposes two points, a beginning point and a final destination. A path which leads from one point to another. And it is. It is that. This way is a path from mankind's ruin in sin to being with the Father in glory. So Jesus is saying the way from our sinful world to the presence of God is me. And he's implying that the whole race is separated from God, that is not with God, but is away from God, desperately in need because we are lost in sin. See, Adam, the first representative of the human race, was with God, but he turned from God through disobeying God, and we all went down with him. And because of his sin and our sin, we are like sheep, lost and wandering from God. And this was and this is spiritual death, which leads to physical death, which leads to eternal death, separation from God, from life. And because we so desperately need a way out and a way to life, God sent his Son, who doesn't just point us to the way. He doesn't just show us the way, but Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way to God because I provide the way of forgiveness for sin. I bring reconciliation with God. Well, how does Jesus do that? It's by his sinless life and by his sin-bearing death on the cross. Jesus is the way to the Father's house, but first stop is the cross. And that's at the beginning as well. Because the new Adam, the new head of the human race, the new representative is Jesus. And he is the one who perfectly obeys God, is without sin. And he goes to the cross. He went to the cross to bear on himself the sin of the whole world. And he is going to the Father's house. And he's going to come back and get them to prepare a way, prepare that place. He has to go to the cross because it's by his death that he brings sinners to God. His blood opens a way, tears down the curtain, and this is how Jesus is the way. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, come in at the narrow gate. Come in at the narrow gate, because that's the way to life. This kind of unattractive path which begins with a small gate and a horrible but wondrous cross is the way, the only way, Jesus says. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The early church identified as being people of the way. Saul went from house to house to imprison those belonging to the way. Many who spoke against Christianity spoke against the way. They did that by speaking against the way. In Acts 19, there was no small disturbance concerning the way. In Acts 22, Paul said he persecuted those of the way. In Acts 24, believers are those referred to as those on the way, because they identified with the one who said, "I am the way." And the question for us is, are we on the way? Not are we part of a church, not are we part of a Christian family, been born into one, or born into a nation where Christianity is observed. The question is more, are we personally on the path? Have we come to the cross? Have we been born again? Have we come to the gate? Have we committed our lives to Jesus Christ? Because there is no other way to be on the way than a decisive step towards Jesus. So Jesus says he is the way and the truth. I am the way and the truth. And these two are inseparable. Because there's no possibility of entering the way apart from the truth. The only access to the way is to receive and to believe the truth. And Jesus is saying that he is exclusively the teacher and the revealer of truth. Then we think, well, what about prophets? What about the apostles? What about the psalmists and the poets in the Bible? Well, the truth they spoke was about Jesus. The Bible, God's word, Old Testament, New Testament, history, prophecy, wisdom, apocalyptic, they all point to Jesus. All scripture is about Christ, and Christ is the primary author. So John tells us, chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So Jesus is God's true Word personified, the revealer of God's truth, who walked among us. And so we see and we hear the truth by reading and listening to the Bible. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So how do we enter the way? We enter the way by believing in the truth. And the Gospel of John is called the Gospel of Belief because time and time again we hear the word believe, believe. John 3 verse 16, whoever believes shall not perish. Verse 18, whoever believes is not condemned. Verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. Chapter 8 verse 24, you will die in your sins, Jesus says, if you do not believe that I am he. And at times we wish Jesus wasn't so stark and so blunt, but it's his words, not ours. Chapter 5, verse 24, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. So no one can be saved unless they hear God's word of truth about Jesus. And that is why we send missionaries, isn't it? That's why we publish Bibles in other languages. Because to believe, people need to hear the truth. In John chapter 9, the man who Jesus healed gets thrown out of the temple. And when Jesus finds him, he asks him the most important question. Not how are you, nor which church will you join now you've been thrown out, nor have you been baptized, nor, you know, do you take communion or do you tithe. They're all good things believers do. But Jesus asks him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man says, well, who is he that I might believe in him? Jesus says, you have seen him. And now you are speaking with him. And the man says, Lord, I believe. See, believing in Jesus alone puts us on the way. And what is it to believe? What does it mean? It's to believe that we are lost sinners. It's to believe Jesus came to save sinners. It is to recognize and it's to confess our sin, and it is to commit to Jesus, to come to the end of ourselves, no longer directing our lives, but submitting them to Jesus' lordship. This is the truth of how to enter the way, by believing in the truth in Jesus. So Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Now these three are not multiple choice. Take two out of three, you know, take your pick, leave the other. No, they are inseparably joined. Because those who believe in the truth enter the way. And having believed and believing, they have life. They have God's life in them now, new spiritual life through the Holy Spirit, the life of Christ in them as they travel the way, and they have the gift of eternal life to come, a place, a room in the Father's heavenly house. So let me put up a little picture of the shining heavenly city. This takes us back to last week. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Jesus possesses all life. All life flows from him. And all those who believe in him, who receive new spiritual life, supernatural life, and they receive life. And so to receive Jesus is to receive life. But to refuse the truth is to refuse the life. It's a package deal. So Jesus says, verse 6, no one comes to the Father except through me. Exclusive passage to the Father, to truth, to life now, spiritual life, and life eternal in heaven is through me. Had there been another way, Jesus wouldn't have died. In the garden, just before the cross, Jesus knelt and he asked the Father, is there any other way? Father, if it's possible, if you can save Sarah or Sean another way, if they can work their way to you, if they can buy their way to you, if they can behave their way to heaven, then spare me the cross. But the Father's answer was that there is no other way. No earning, no working, no way to the way except through Jesus, through the narrow gate and onto the narrow way via the cross. That is where we have to come, and that is what we have to believe to be saved. So come by faith to the cross for your sin. Come to Jesus. And the way of salvation hasn't changed. In past generations, the only way was through Christ. Today, the only way is through Christ. In generations to come, the only way will be through Christ. Many don't like it. Many don't believe it. They don't want to hear it. It matters not, though, what ideas come and go. Because Jesus, in whom dwells the fullness of God, says, I alone am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, before we pray, let's sing about the way Jesus made on the cross. I cast my mind to Calvary.
Thank you.
pray together. Father, we have heard the truth today. We've heard about Jesus. We know the truth. We pray that you'd help us believe. Would some, for the first time, come to Jesus? Would existing believers keep believing and more eagerly commit their all to Jesus? We pray that we would cast ourselves on Jesus, hungry for his truth, hungry for you, Jesus, to govern every part of our lives. You know what we're like. We're often fearful, anxious and troubled. Sometimes we're very lost. Jesus, cause us to believe in you, to trust you, to count on you, to bank all we have on you. So bring us to the place of total surrender and submission to the truth. Strengthen us to go on with Jesus in complete surrender and submission. And we pray that you would let our lives now be thrilling and exciting as we live and serve you, and full of hope as we think of the life to come. So Jesus, we praise you, and we ask that you would help us to see more clearly that you are the way, the truth and the life. Help us in our lives, in understanding this, in believing and trusting you. We ask this in your glorious name. Amen. Well, we're going to close our service with the singing of one of the best hymns about the great joy it is to belong to the Good Shepherd, the one who is the way, the truth and the life. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.